Good morning, and amen. It's so good to be here again today, and we're just a couple of things before we get started. I did want to report on our wonderful time in the park at Maple Street. It's really not a park, but it's a vacant lot that, if you remember, City View here has graciously taken on as your project and something that we are working together. About 8 or 9 years ago, we went to the city and we said, how can we help you? What is it that would be a good thing to just help you with? And there were, in East of Maple Street, there were six city houses that were torn down, and it was just infested. One of the neighbors said, I didn't even like my dog going over there. So you know it's bad when the dogs can't go next door. Just filled with glass and drug paraphernalia and all kinds of things. And so we've been keeping that up and over the last few years, and building a relationship in that part of town, not preachy in the sense of going there and hitting them with the Word of God, as we might think evangelism in, but just in a very practical way, loving them. And so thank you for each one of you that came out and helped and served. It was a great time. We had about 150 kids registered, and every night, average of maybe 130 kids that showed up. And the neat thing that's happening in that area, if you know anything about East Maple Street, that was known as the jungle area, probably one of the most difficult areas in the city. The neat thing that's happening is that the three drug houses right across the street have been closed up. The police came in. They wiped everything out. And it's actually becoming a peaceful part of town. And the residents that are there, and they are coming out. This is the neat thing. We saw for the first time that many of the parents are coming, listening, bringing their children as well. And for the last few years, they would just kind of drop their kids off and leave or go across the street. But they're actually being involved. And we had one of them helping to cook yesterday and do various things. And one of the men down there just keeps saying, you know, this is a testimony to the power of God because this community is changed. There is a change. And if you're like me, and just like a lot of us, just feel, you know, things are so difficult around us. How can one person or a few people make a difference? And this is a testimony of the difference that God is making through our church here, our community, and other churches and other businesses that are involved in bringing change to people's lives. And at the end of the service, you're welcome. I wrote a book a number of years ago. It's called Being Real, Living What You Believe. It's out on the table there free of charge today. Take a couple of copies. It works well as a devotional, but it takes you through the book of Acts. I know some of you maybe received a copy last year when I spoke. But it takes you through the book of Acts and just talks about some of the practical things that I believe God has given us opportunities as his people to show his love and his power and his glory. So that's out there for you. And again, thanks to all that. I know it was kind of back-to-back busy time here with the VBS here and just the wonderful things that happened right here and helping our children and youth become more acclimated to God's word and how that works. And then just in a week in between, we're down in Maple Street. But it was just a great, great time, and many kids really, I believe, received some good things from God. So the book in the back talks about the park. It talks about also some of the things we're involved in here as well with the Typical Life residents. I know that we've introduced you to them. And it's another thing. And by the way, thank you for the overwhelming support to help with that class. If you would like to teach, if you have a knack for that, or you like to learn, God's calling you. Chris Kessler is now in charge of that, and so you may see her. But here's another thing that I'd like to do, because many of the families, individuals, many of their families might have rejected them, or it's just not good relationships. And we're looking for families that would maybe, after church, you know, take one of the individuals home and just kind of be a sort of a family for them. You know what I mean? Just like, hey, just on occasion, just to drop by maybe their house or whatever. And so if you have any interest in that, you may see me. Just be a rewarding opportunity for you to live your faith. Amen. Amen. Well, today, I'm, again, just really excited that God has given us time together. And if you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11, this is a story that's been around for many years, and we've talked about it, but it's understanding the resurrected life. For many of us, as we go through our own life, we become accustomed to how life is. It's just, we wake up in the mornings, we go to work, we do our jobs, we do our family things, and if we're not careful, we'll just kind of be lulled to sleep by just the boredom and the everyday aspect of life. And I love that song, and we're going to ask Benjamin to lead that during our communion time. But that song, "I Want to Be Close to You," that song, that, what's the chorus line there, Benjamin? Holy, right. The great I am, right? And this is what we want to look at today, just for a few moments here this morning. We want to look at the great I am and how he made a way for the great I am. He made a way for him to come and be close to us and to be living inside us. Each one of us is a place, a home. It's a residence for the great I am. And this is what resurrection life is. And I'm going to just read this story. I'm reading it out of the Message Bible today in John chapter 11. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with the oils and wiped them with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one that you love so much is sick." Jesus got the message. He said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more days. And after 2 days, he said to the disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." And they said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you. And you're going back?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going." And again, this cryptic saying went right across over top of their heads. He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." And the disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and he'll wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. And then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's what Thomas, when Thomas was called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along, we might as well die with him." And Jesus finally got there. He found Lazarus already dead 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him, and Mary remained in the house. Martha said, "Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise up." And Martha replied, "I know he will rise up in the resurrection at the end time. You don't have to wait for the end. I am right now." Someone say hallelujah right now. I am right now. Resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? "Yes, Master," all along, I believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. And after saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, the teacher is here to see you and asking for you. The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. And Jesus had not entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. And Mary came to the place where Jesus was waiting, fell at his feet, saying, Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews with her sobbing and weeping. A deep anger welled up within him. I think the King James Version, or one of those versions, said he was vexed in spirit. Do you ever get vexed? That's a great word, isn't it? But he was something welled up within him, and he was troubled. Another translator said he was troubled, but he was really angry and troubled within him. He says, where did you put him? Master, come and see, they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, look, how deeply he loved him. Others among them said, well, if he loved him so much, why did he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of the blind man. Then Jesus, the anger again welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone to lay it against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. And the sister of the dead man, Martha, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, go ahead, take away the stone. And they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Then he shouted, Lazarus! Come out. And he came out. The cadaver wrapped him from head to toe and with a kerchief over his face. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Let's pause for a prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Teach us. Bring us your word through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Understanding the resurrection life. I have 7 points here for you today. If you're going to enjoy or be a part of resurrected life, first of all, it comes by request. God does not push his life on us. There's no way that we are puppets on a string and somehow that God just does what he wants to do. God only comes from our request. And we see that all through the scriptures, and as Jesus lived his life here, there were other times that people came to Jesus and said, heal my daughter, do this, can you do this? And Jesus, what was his answer? He was always willing to answer requests. So when you request for resurrected life, you must know that God is going to answer your prayer. God will answer our prayers. As soon as we pray, as soon as we begin to open our spirit towards God and pray and ask him and seek him, it is already done. It's difficult for us because we see so many circumstances and so many life issues surrounding our requests. But it's out of your need that God will answer. My wife often says, you know, it's great to testify about a miracle. How many just love to stand up or somewhere and just say, man, God came through. He's a miracle working God. But it's another thing to need a miracle, isn't it? Boy, we love to talk about miracles, talk about how God, never brag on God. We need to be doing that more and more in these days. Just begin to be able to brag on God. If you think you have nothing, you can just say, my name is written in the book of life. That's something to get off about, isn't it? My name, your name is up there in the book of life.
But see, again, we just get lulled to sleep with life, everyday life. It's one thing to need a miracle, but it's the greatest thing in the world to say, you know what? I didn't know how I was going to get through this situation. You know what? I didn't know how this would ever work out. But thanks be to God, resurrection life showed up in time. In time. So it comes to you out of your need. That's why I believe that we are very needy people, aren't we? We have a lot of needs in our life. Just look around. Just look at yourself. Many needs. But this resurrection life that Jesus gave each one of us is there to meet every need, to hold us in the darkest time of trouble, in the deepest time, the deepest pit that we go through, and in the mountaintops that we enjoy. God is there. The second thing is anticipate God's unique ways. Now, I don't know about you, but I initially and the people around Jesus had some real difficulties. Here they come. Lazarus, he's sick. You better get there. You better come. Can you hurry? We've got to get you there. And what does Jesus do? Yeah, I'll be there. And then what's with that? Two more days? I guess he did what every man will do, right? It's time to fix that leaky faucet. I'll be right there, dear. Two more, well, if it gets done in two more days, that's almost a miracle, isn't it? Unless you're a handy guy and you just love to doing that. But, you know, me in plumbing work, I've tried a number of occasions. And you know what? I have more leaks after I'm finished. Maybe that's part of the miracle, right? It's expansion of things. 2 days. He's just doing what he was doing. Now, if you read about this, and there are a lot of people that try to figure out Jesus, you can look and go on the internet, and there's all kinds of commentaries. Everyone's trying to figure out what he's doing. Some people say, and it's probably good. He just, all his others, the healing, Jairus' daughter and the little boy that he healed, he was immediately there. And so there was a lot of questions about, you know, those, his enemies and the Pharisees. Well, he probably wasn't dead anyway. You know, he was just there and whatever. So it may be that Jesus, and he talks to the disciples later about it, it's good I didn't go right away. Because maybe he just wanted to make sure this man was really dead. So there's no questions. There could be no sayings that, well, you know, he wasn't really dead. He was just asleep. When resurrection life begins to work in your life, you must anticipate God's unique ways. God has a unique way for each one of us. It's just not across the board. Did you ever notice that? Someone gets a miracle and something happens like this, and you say, yeah, but God, you know, 2 days. But this person here got healed right away. And this said, 2 days. And 2 days might stretch out to 4 days, and 4 days might stretch out to 8, and it might take a long time. But you must understand that the scripture says God's ways are what? Come on. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are far above. So you see, God is not approaching your life as you think he should. God always, resurrection life always has unique ways. And one of the things that is about this is because God is working so many different things all in one time. Do you ever notice this? All around the world, God is doing something to bring his people together. That's a miracle, isn't it? It's hard enough to keep a family together. It's difficult to keep one church together. But God is doing something unique all over the world, and he's bringing us together as one body.
as one army of the Lord. 2 days. And what was happening during those 2 days? What do you just think was going on in the disciples' minds and those around him? Come on. This is time for you. What do you think? It's not in the scriptures, but what do you think would have been going on in some of their minds? Come on.
He's dead,
so no use going. Karen? Jesus afraid of Jesus, and right, you're so right, because they bring that up right away, and Jesus says that cryptic saying of the sunlight and the darkness and everything, and they didn't get it at all. What else? Carol?
Why is he doing things this way?
why is he doing it this way? Here's the request. Shouldn't we be going? Yes.
Why is he taking so long?
He has the power. Right? What? Why? He's dragging his feet. Procrastinating, right? Oh, that's a good one. Does he really care? He loved them. And you see later on in that passage when he gets there and he cries, they're still exactly saying that. They're putting all this together in their minds. Well, if he cared that much, why doesn't he do something? After all, he did this. God is working in unique ways in each one of our lives. He doesn't care for us in the same way. Those of you that have raised children, you understand that they are all different. And you might say, well, I raised this one, and I raised this one in the same way. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. Because it might have taken something different. But we just think, well, I got this one under control. Cookie cutter, next one comes along. You know what happens? God's unique ways. It's just not the same. In fact, vastly different. And so we begin to cry on God for his resurrection power. Anticipate the unique ways. And here's number three. The resurrected power of Christ is limited by one thing, and one thing only. It's not, let me give you some news. It's not limited by the devil. Amen? It's not limited by anything, and we sang that this morning. It's not limited by anything around outside. It's only limited by your unbelief. And so what happens here is, resurrected life, or living out this life, is something we are responsible for. It's our responsibility. Because why? Because we're the ones that believe or don't believe. So it's limited by unbelief, and elsewhere, and Jesus could not perform his miracles. Went over this in my class here this winter. Jesus was limited in his hometown. Why? Too familiar? And what happens when we're too familiar? Unbelief sets in. We get so familiar with our own life, don't we? And then we're beginning to wonder, well, is there anything else that God... Could God really use me? Unbelief is the sin. It's a sin of unbelief. And, of course, we repent of that sin, so that we might have that unbelief lifted. And then that's what began to happen. And you begin to see that the circumstances that were happening here led to the unbelief. Number four, you need to guard against disappointment. And that's what was beginning to sit in. Aren't you glad Jesus is not moved by your disappointments? He's not moved by what we think. You see, you can think anything you want to think about who Jesus is, but thanks be to God, he is the great I am. And so he has that resurrection power that he is bringing to us. But our nature, after 2 days, all right, he is dead. It's finished. But why do we see? This is what Jesus wants us to understand.
resurrection life, it's not about death or dying. It's not about living. It's about the great I am impacting your life to bring new life. Limited by unbelief. And so we guard against disappointments. We need to guard against pessimism. And here is Thomas. Where else do we see him in the Bible? And his doubting problems and some of the things that was limited in himself. But I love this one when they talk about, they had the discussion. Do we go on from here? What do we do? And Thomas says, well, let's just go. And you know what? We'll just die with our friend Lazarus. Now, there's some translations, some people think, well, that shows his loyalty, and that might be part of it. But it seems that it has an era side of pessimism, doesn't it? Just like, all right, Jesus, we know we're going to follow you. That's his loyalty, right? And many of us do that in our lives. Yes, you know what? I will follow you. Peter did that. Peter followed Jesus as Jesus was being questioned by the high priest, and Peter was outside, and he was there following. But when things got too tough, even Peter denied. And so we say, Jesus, I will follow you, but you know, this is too much. This, you're asking too much of me. Have you ever said that? I'm going to follow you, but this is too much. And you know what? The awesome thing about resurrection power is that God knows our limits. God knows our limitations. And God knows how far we can go. But you know what he does? He knows that, but he really doesn't seem to care. Yes, you know what happens? He pushes us beyond our limitations. But doesn't that make sense? Anyone who's a sports fanatic, anyone who enjoys sports, you know, you go to your limit and then beyond your limits. You go to that limit and then beyond. It's the same thing that God, with his resurrection power, brings us to our limits. He brings us to where we say, you know what? We can't go any more. We can't go any faster. We can't go any farther. Resurrection power says, yes, not you can, but you will. It's from the glory to glory aspect that God changes us. We don't get changed if we're not changed if we just stay in our place right where we're at. In fact, we will regress. But someone who is saying, let me have that resurrection power, is in the process of being changed. And it's over a period of time you look back in your life and say, wow, that's great. God really changed me. But in the process, we don't realize that because it's difficult. So guard against those disappointments. And that's what Jesus was trying to work with the disciples during this whole time. It was all about their disappointments. And number five, resurrection power works in spite of circumstances. Whatever circumstances are surrounding your life this day, resurrection power works in spite of that. And the verse that really is our key verse today, in verse 25, where Jesus asked Martha, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And Jesus is even asking us that today, as he asked Martha, do you believe that? And I'm sure we would all say, yes, we believe. But what about the 2 days? What about when it looks like other circumstances are telling me something different? And in spite of all these circumstances, in spite of Lazarus being sick and now already dead, resurrection power was at work. There was something that God is doing, because resurrection power, resurrection life, is multifaceted. And that's hard for us because, for the most part, we can do one or two things, and But God is a great multitasker. He is constantly doing different things at different times and different people. So just be aware today, regardless of the situation and circumstances, God's at work. And then number six, be prepared to be a participant. God just doesn't give us resurrected life and just leave us off on our own. We are a part of something. What were they participating in? Well, when he comes to the tomb, he asked them, "You roll away the stone." I think it would have been a great opportunity just for a lightning bolt to come down from heaven and boom, knock that stone apart and rocks flying. And couldn't you see that, all disciples and people like, whoa? But no, he didn't do that. God never shows his power just to show off. You see, I said that's what I would do. Oh, man, you know, just couldn't we just really kick up these miracles a few notches? Now, just, you know, that's what Hollywood does that. The movies. Lightning bolt right on that stone right there, smithering it to a million pieces. That would have been a really neat effect. But that's not what resurrection life is. So they participated in rolling the stone away. Could you imagine that those that were given that task to roll the stone away, Jesus kind of looking, do it. They probably do it now. And so there they were, struggling with this huge boulder or whatever it was, rolling that away, really in their minds, still in doubt, really in their minds, still in confusion. He says, well, we're going to get that stone away. I'm going to hold our nose at the end. Because even Mary came and she said, Lord, Lord, of all the people, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, Mary just in this relationship with Jesus. And she still just said, Lord, 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 wait, 1 minute. It's not been 2 days, it's been 4 days. What was she afraid of? What was she afraid of? Come on, say it. Oh, I like that, watching him fail. Now, I never thought of that. That's why I come out and ask for things, because we get, you get more for the price of one here on that. I like that. You know, she might have just like, oh, you know what? I'd hate to see Jesus. I love him so much. Don't you wives and husbands? Oh, I love him so much. I just hope he doesn't fail. Let me help him out a little bit. You know, all right. What else? What's another comment back here? Good. See, now I like that. That's not at all what I was thinking, but I'd love just to ask, you know, from, because see, God is, when those words come to you, God's interacting with you. Resurrection life is working in you right now. Okay? So it's not so much what I'm saying, it's what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. Yes? Good point. She was just afraid. You know what? I've put all my hopes in this person. I've just moved, and I'm beginning to move from this point of really trusting this is the Messiah. But what if? You know, the whole Israelites had that problem, didn't they? God did all these things, and then what did they do? They got the idols from the Philistines and they buried them. They used to bury them in their tents. And then when the ladies were taken as wives into the Philistines, you know, they would, you know, it was just a mess. Whenever you mix idolatry with God, and by the way, it's not just idols, it's stuff that's controlling our life and that whole thing. You know what? I just want to avoid embarrassment. Embarrassment can become an idol in your life. That'll keep you from the resurrected life. Why? Because it limits. It will limit what God wants to do. All right? So that's great. Any other thoughts? Yeah? Is he going to come through? Hey, he waited 2 days, right? He procrastinated 2, and now it's 4. What is going on? Yes? All right, here's a very practical reason, right? Everyone else, we're out on our spiritual limb here, which is cool. Well, here's this, hey, it's going to smell bad. And Jewish tradition, you know, well, don't touch that. Oh, my, you know, the whole defilement and everything like that. That's, yeah.
Well, everybody else, I'm sure she realized that he ended up resurrected them right away. Like you said, he went right away. So this is what he did.
Right.
But after 4 days, maybe this is too great of a thing for him to do. Maybe he's been too long.
After 4 days, see, remember he raised Jairus' daughter right away. And here he did this right away. Everything was right away. Is this, you know... You see how questions can sit in our minds? Questions can come into our hearts and our minds, and we begin to question, and, you know, we still do this, as you said, don't we? We still have problems with this. Anyone else want to get in here? Yes, Linda. Yeah.
He's showing us that when we're dead for hundreds of years, he can still bring
us. Hallelujah. Wow, that's a great miracle. And what does he say? I am the resurrection. If you're dead... And Martha believed that because that was a part of their Jewish tradition. There's going to be a resurrected day. Oh, I know Lazarus will... You think about this, the irony of talking to the great I am. And she believes, oh yeah, he'll be resurrected in the last day. But I can't believe for now. Wow. That's pretty good stuff. Oh, no, yes, the control thing, it's very much a part of that. You know, when we can control our lives, control our destiny, and that's what we are taught in schools, that's what businesses, and, you know, the message you preached so powerfully the other day, Benjamin, you know, just about, you know, all the things that bombard us, be better, more numbers, greater things. It's all going to perish, it's all going to... be for naught, but yet we're required to do that, and somehow the resurrection life helps us, and if we can translate that into the spiritual realm, that it's just not about control, but it's about being with the one who is in control, the great I am. Be prepared to be a participant in what God's doing. If God is praying for a miracle, or someone might be praying for a miracle, their miracle might be dependent upon you. See, we think miracles, well, and here's another thing. I would have loved to have seen, here's Lazarus, Jesus, and Jesus didn't just say, whisper this. I mean, we know that. The word here actually means he was screaming at the top of his lungs. And I probably won't do that today. Well, I might. But he was screaming at the top of his lungs, Lazarus, come forth. And so here is, picture this part now. Here's this Lazarus coming out. Could you say, how's he going to walk? So like hopping around, and he was bound from head to foot, wrapped in these grave clothes. Another great effect would have been pow, you know, a lightning bolt zap and everything falls off. But Jesus wanted the people to be involved to participate in a miracle. And it's still today. When we're down in the street of Maple Street or you're walking with a neighbor or a friend, it's something that God has asked us to do as his people, to participate. It's just not him. And for many of us, we're sitting back and just, well, let Jesus do it. But where is Jesus? Oh, we teach from our little children on up, right? Right, Beth and Marcy, you teach your children. Jesus is in your heart. But somehow it gets misdirected over a long period of time, and we don't believe it any longer. The great I am, the resurrected power of Jesus, lives in me. It's in residence. It's a part of my life. It's inerrant. It's a part of my nature. And God is calling us to participate in what he is doing. And every day we have that process, we have that ability to participate. Could you imagine those that went and started removing the grave clothes from Lazarus? Just from a look of unbelief and until such joy. If you have the opportunity to help unwrap the grave clothes of someone and see them become a new creature in Christ, leading someone to Christ is probably, isn't that just a great thing? You go from, wow, this person is so far from God and just really separated, and then God gives you an opportunity to begin to take some things off. Might be, and one of the things that people really are wrapped with today is just the whole fact of intimacy. You know, because they've been hurt so many times and even hurt by Christians and being judged. And when you can, and you know what? You just don't take it off like that. Sometimes it takes 2 days, 4 days. Sometimes it's a lifetime, isn't it? But nevertheless, Jesus calls us, loose him and let him go. We find ourselves as we're sold out to Jesus. We find ourselves in the tomb. We find ourselves sometimes just really just saying, I don't know, God, if you really can show up in this situation. But Jesus is calling us and he's speaking to us. Put your name in that and say, come forth. Whatever your names are, he's speaking today and calling you to get out of the tomb. We're afraid to come out of our tomb because only you know, and I know about myself, what stinks in there, what's dead, what's wrapped up in grave clothes. But for the resurrection life to penetrate, Jesus is calling us. He's calling that when we sing, you're the great I am. That's what worship is. It's just not singing about something, but it's something from our hearts, speaking forth, crying forth. Come forth. And here's the thing. Many times it takes other people, many times it takes family or other people to help us unwrap the grave clothes. Jesus calls us to participate, being participants in the resurrected life. I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me, though dead, shall live. We have a great anticipation of one day being raised with Christ. One day having finished this life. But we have a greater, or we can have a greater anticipation that even today, God's word is true. I am the resurrection and the life. This morning as we celebrate communion, this is what we're doing. We're celebrating this understanding of resurrected life. Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. Eat and do this. And the Apostle Paul records that. He said the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, took wine, which was just a part of the Jewish custom. It wasn't, we do it really out of context now, in terms of church, but it's still something that we do in order to help us understand and help us to visualize again. But he said, this is my body. Let's not get hung up whether it's really his body, it's going to turn into his body or whatever. Just, hey, he said, this is it. And so as we take this, allow resurrected life to be imparted to us. Allow it to strengthen our lives.